Welcome to Behind the 90 with Nika. This is episode 5, and you are in for a very special treat. Today's episode is called Groomed for Marriage, Always a Bridesmaid, Never the Bride. And before we get into that a little more, I want to explain Behind the 90 with Nika. 90% of what we go through in life is about our past, and only 10% is about the here and now. And so that's why I established these podcasts, to really tap into a person's story. Because so often we just hang out in the surface area, and hanging out in the surface area serves no one. We need to get to the story. Sometimes the story is good. Sometimes the story is not so good. But it all explains who we are. Today's guest is a very, very special guest. I have known her for 31 years, and I won't get into how I met her. I'm going to let her do that. But we've gone through some highs and lows, more highs than lows. But through it all, we have remained constant. She is one of my very best friends, and I love her so dearly. And I am so happy to introduce her. Her name is Rachel. Welcome, Rachel. I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you so much for joining Behind the 90 with Nika. I'm so excited to have you here. How are you?
I am blessed, Nika, highly favored. Thank you so much for extending an invitation to me to your podcast. I'm so very proud of you. And I can't wait to see how this podcast just continues to grow and grow. So just thank you. Thank you so much. But I am doing quite well. Yes.
I don't take for granted when people take time out of their busy schedules to join me on my podcast. And so I thank you, because I know you're a pretty busy woman. So I really appreciate and I feel honored that you would join me. So Rachel, tell the audience how we met 31 years ago.
So I remember it, the story, just like yesterday, like it just happened, to be honest with you. So I was dating a young man, one of your best friends from high school. Mm-hmm. And I remember him telling me about his best friend, Anika. And he was like, you got to meet her. You got to meet her. You're going to love her. You guys are going to click. You guys got a lot in common. And so it was, believe it or not, Nika, you may not remember this, but I remember it was around Valentine's Day, and we were going to eat. We were going to Olive Garden. Now, this is, you know, back in the day, like we said.
93, right? Was that 93? Well,
we've known each other since we were 21 years old. Mm-hmm. So he picked me up and he said, I got a surprise for you before we go to dinner. I said, okay. He said, so just sit back, relax, but you're going to love this surprise. And we pulled up on your street and I'm wondering like, whose house are we going over? You know? So we get out the car and I'm like, okay, so who house? He said, you'll see, you'll see. And so I don't know if you guys if he had told you in advance that he was ringing me by or had announced it, but when you opened the door, you guys hugged and he said, Rachel, this is my best friend, Nika. Nika, this is Rachel. And I just remember you standing there just smiling. I remember you was there. Mom Davis, your mom was there. Your sister Felicia was there. I remember, I believe I met Shelly too. I believe Shelly was there. But I just remember meeting you all and how warm, inviting, and welcoming you all were to me. And we were just smiling. I was happy to finally meet you. So met you through him.
Yes. And, you know, I know it was definitely meant for us to meet each other. When he brought you over, you were really like sunshine. When I looked at you, you're so beautiful inside out. And I literally said, man, it felt like sunshine. It's just you. It was just your personality. Everything was just so genuine and pure about you. So it was I was honored to meet you. You know, that relationship, you know, I know you guys are still friends and cordial with each other. That relationship didn't develop into anything, but we remain constant, right? We remain constant in our friendship. So that was very special for us to continue on in our friendship. So he was the vessel for us to meet. And here we are today. Like I said, we have experienced some highs and lows, mostly highs. And I'm honored to have you here. We won't get into, I guess we can get into a little bit, you know, when you think about the meeting in your 20s, you got your 20s, you got your 30s, you got your 40s, and you got your 50s. But I'm proud of my age, to be honest with you. I'm really proud of my age. But when you think about some of the things that we did growing up, if you could share one fond memory about us just spending time together in our 20s, can you share one fond memory?
I can. I also want to say I'm proud of my age, too. Since you are 4 months older than me, you know, I never let you live it down. So when you turn, you know, the age that you're going to turn, I always say, it's you, not me, because I still got 4 more months. But if I can share one fond memory of us, man, like you said, we went through our early 20s together, all of our 20s, 30s, 40s, and now at the age of, you know, our early 50s, we were like two peas in a pod. We were always hanging. Like you would come over to my house. I would go over to your house. I think some of my fondest memories with everything that, you know, we've done and hanging out, some of my fondest memories, believe it or not, Nika, is at my mom's kitchen table. Mm-hmm. Sitting there at the kitchen table while she was cooking my dad's lunch for the next day. As he, you know, worked at General Motors, and just the conversations that we had together and shared with my mother. Those are the most special memories and fond memories for me. Now, we've traveled together, obviously. We've been through, you know, your marriage, your birth, bridal showers, baby showers, just some of everything. But if I really look back at it, some of my fondest memories is not us just out and about or the trips that we've gone on, but it's simple for me. Sitting at the kitchen table in my mom's kitchen, having conversation and watching her and her giving us wisdom, pouring into us as young women. Yeah. Those are my fondest memories.
Yeah. And you know what? I guess I would echo that because your mother was, it wasn't even like she was trying to, it was just her, the way she moved, the way she took care of your home, the way she took care of your dad. It was, I would sit down like at that table, that round table, and just be in awe of your mom and how she would effortlessly care for your father, care for the family. You know, I didn't grow up in a two-parent household, well, until I was 10 years old, but I didn't grow up with a two-parent household. So I didn't get that experience of seeing, you know, a husband and a wife, you know, interact and grow and just be a partnership. I didn't get a chance to see that partnership. Now, I won't say that I feel like, do I feel like sometimes I missed out on that? I do, but I feel like my mother still provided such a stable and a loving environment that I didn't feel like I had missed out too much. But sometimes I remember when Father of the Bride would come on, I would always get sad looking at that because I'm like, man, I didn't have that feeling of, you know, leaving my dad. So this brings us to our topic. Let me go back just a little bit. So I definitely agree with you in regards to that fond memory. And I remember your mom's message when she was being intentional. She was always intentional, but when she was intentional about sharing a message with us, I remember her saying to me, do not start something you can't finish. So I would see her making food for your dad. And I think she would do it all the time, but she said, do not start something you can't finish. Do not be on the phone, yakking on the phone when your husband comes in the house. Yeah. I remember those. And I mm-hmm. now I get off the phone with, you know, because you want to greet your husband. And so I remember those two things. She would be making your father pork chop sandwiches and stuff like that. I may not be making pork chop sandwiches, but I do make, look, but Rachel, I make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because that's what Freya likes, right? So those are the things. I would share that fond memory with you. So that brings mm-hmm. us to our topic, Rachel. And why did we pick this topic? Groom for marriage, always a bridesmaid, never the bride. Why did we choose that?
Oh, man, great question. We chose that topic because that's primarily been part of my life. Not all of it, right? But part of my life. So you led to it a little bit. I grew up in a two-parent household. You know, my mom and dad, God rest my mom. So they were married years. That's a long time. 57 years. Think about that.
Yeah.
And I grew up and I don't say that in a braggadocious way or anything like that. But I come from a family of long marriages. So starting with my parents. And then if I look at my extended family, so, you know, brothers, my mom's brothers, their siblings, they were all married and they had longevity in marriage and then marriages and their marriages. And then if I pan out a little bit and I look at my friends, my girlfriends growing up, now I'm going back to when I was a little girl, right? Like toddler all the way up. And the girlfriends that I befriended, that I hung out with in elementary school and middle and high school, all my girlfriends came from two-parent households. That's wow. all I've known, right? The ones that I was allowed to spend the night over their homes, you know, there was a mom and dad in the home. And not that I would not be friends with someone that came from a single household, but that just wasn't what I was used to seeing. That's how it turned out for me. So wow. when we think about that, that's kind of, and you and I, you know, over the years, of course, we've talked about this, you know, just extensively. So when you come from that type of background and that's all you know, naturally you think, at least for me, I thought, this is what you do. You grow up, you know, you get married, you have a family, you live happily ever after. Picket right. fence, dog, and the whole nine yards.
Yeah. What a blessing to be exposed to that. And you're right. It's almost like you feel like it was like a rite of passage. It's just like, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm exposed to. This is my norm. I see, you know, a husband and a wife together in holy matrimony and they're mm-hmm. in partnership, you know. So I'm sure you never thought that, you always thought that that would be your story too. And it will be your story. But that was the thing. You thought, this will be my story. It was never, ever a doubt in your mind that this would not be your story. Because you were groomed for marriage. Based, whether it was implicit or explicit, you know, you were groomed for marriage. You saw how the conflict resolution, you saw them partnering together to make decisions. So you saw all that. You saw how your parents catered to each other. And how did it feel to see that kind of partnership? I know when you're younger, you may not appreciate it as much mm-hmm. as you appreciate it now. So if you mm-hmm. can speak to how much you appreciate, as you think about it now, mm-hmm. how much you appreciated that union, that partnership between your mom and your dad. Can you speak to that?
Oh, absolutely. My goodness. At the age I'm at now, so at the age of 52, when you look back, I so appreciate it. I appreciate the generation I was born into. I always say, I think my generation is one of the best generations. Shout out to Jenny. I appreciated how they worked together as a team. My parents, and I spoke with both of them, and then I spoke with them separately. Just kind of over the years, just talking, what's the secret to, you know, how long you've been married, you know, just asking those questions, right? And I remember, and how my parents just worked together. My mom and dad said that early on in their marriage, they defined their roles early on. And what kept them married was not trying into the other person's role, take over the role. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad worked. He worked at General Motors for 50 years. He worked in a plant atmosphere. My parents got married, you know, at 18. And my mom said very early on, they defined their roles. Like, your dad wanted to be the provider and for the family. He wanted me to, you know, stay home and, you know, raise me and my sister. I have a younger sister. We're 3 years apart. And they had a true partnership. My mom pretty much took care of everything in the house, and everything outside the house my dad took care of. They were very traditional in their marriage, to be quite honest with you. I remember how my mom, like I just shared with you that my dad worked at General Motors, so he worked different shifts, right? And my mom, every single day, no matter what time my father had to be at work, she would get up with him and make him a hot eggs, bacon, sausage, coffee, toast, whatever, grits, whatever. And she would sit with him at the table. She wouldn't eat, but she would have a cup of coffee. And they would talk, and she would see him off. Now, the night before, or sometimes even early that day, very early, she would make his lunch. And we talked about that, sitting at the round kitchen table the night before. And nothing's wrong with this, but she wouldn't do a bologna sandwich or a ham sandwich. She did fried pork.
I know.
A side or two with that. And she knew what time he took his break. So she had a little snack for him. And then when he came home from work, dinner was ready. We always ate as a family, right? We had our seats. Don't nobody sit in daddy. Everybody got their assigned seat, and nobody ever sat in my dad's seat. Don't nobody get the big piece of chicken. The big piece of chicken is my mom served her. She made his plate. And I'm like, why is she? I'm saying to myself, his hands ain't broke. Why she got his plate? And we got to fix our own. She's not making our plate. This is going, I never said it so loud, but it was going to my thoughts, my mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. As a young person.
Yes. I remember asking my mom one day, Mama, why do you make daddy plate and serve him? And why is it okay for us to sometimes eat on paper plate? But my dad never ate on a paper plate, paper cup, paper fork, spoon, knife. And she said, listen, as hard as your daddy work, all these different shifts that he work, the least I can do is after he's been on his feet all day is fix his plate, serve him, put it on the table, set out whatever drink, you know, he wants, water or juice or soda or whatever, a beer, whatever it is, and call him to the table with a hot meal. That's the least I can. And to this day, God rest my mom's soul, she's no longer with us. But when I go back home to Michigan, because, you know, I'm in Atlanta, last 14 years. But when I go back home to Michigan and I cook for my dad, I serve my father and not on paper plate or it's still china. You know, it's still just plates. And he said, I can eat on a paper plate or, you know, and I said, oh, no. Mm-hmm. He said, what do you mean? And I said, no, mommy told me and Rita, we are to never serve a paper plate. He said, what? He had no idea my mother even told us that.
But you know what was, and I want to just interrupt you there for a minute, because when you do come home, I saw you in action, and I just had to say this. I was so impressed by how you have just stepped in there. When you come home, how you take care of your dad. It was sitting at that round table. That round table does great things. A lot of great things have come from that round table and in that kitchen. And when I saw you, I was in amazement how you just kind of stepped in there, and how you, when you come home, you take care of your dad. He is your priority. And your mother would be so incredibly proud of you. I know she's proud of you.
Oh, Nika, thank you. Ooh, that touched me. Thank you so much for saying that.
I didn't even know that.
I didn't even know. I watch my mom just over the years, how she just took care of not only my dad, she took care of me and my sister. She took care of, you know, my mother, since she was a stay-at-home mom, she kept all my aunts and uncles, they worked. My mother kept all of their children. Mm-hmm. Before the kids go to elementary school, my mom has kept every one of my cousins on my dad's side, because his family all lived in Detroit, in Michigan. And so my mother has always been just a natural caregiver. That's just who she was. She loved to cook. She loved to bake. She loved her family. She loved taking care of her family. And I guess what I appreciate now, looking at it, I'm very much my mother's daughter.
You are.
Because
clearly,
I did not know that she was teaching me. It's not like she said, okay, this is what you got to do. I learned from watching her. And yeah. I thought even at a young age, this is what you do. Mm-hmm. This is just what it is. You grow up, you get married, you have kids, and not that you're a stay-at-home mom. I'm talking about how you take care of the family. My mother served with love, and she never complained about it, like ever.
Yeah. So you really had a great example. Like you said, there was a grooming, whether it was intentional or unintentional. Mm-hmm. The messages, the behavior, you know, her actions really mm-hmm. set the tone for you to be married and to be a helpmate to mm-hmm. someone, right? As mm-hmm. you will be. So we've explored and kind of shed some light on what you were taught, what, like I said, whether it was intentional or unintentional. So, you know, you're 52, you're not married right now. You said always a bridesmaid, but never the bride. So mm-hmm. have you been in a lot of relationships, you know, long-term relationships? Can you share a little bit about your dating history?
Sure. So I wouldn't say a lot, right? I have been involved in relationships over the years. Mm-hmm. I am a one woman I'm a one person at a time type of woman.
Right.
I never dated multiple men. Mm-hmm. Not that anything's wrong with that. That just hasn't been me. The relationships I've been in, you know, over the years, you know, going back to, you know, college, and I don't really count high school because, you know, that's just kind of puppy love, but I do count my college time because I dated one person pretty much all through school and then after school. So I think we dated for about 7 years. So that was a long relationship for me. And then post-college, right, I was involved in relationships, but they've always been long-term relationships. Mm-hmm. So what I classify as a ton or a lot, I've had my, you know, share, but I wouldn't say a ton.
Okay.
Only because the relationships I was part of, they were pretty lengthy in time. So when you and I were talking and you invited me to the podcast and we were talking about what we would discuss that's, you know, kind of near and dear to, you know, my heart and kind of just what we've discussed over the years that we've been talking was when I looked at it last night and I started thinking, man, how many weddings have I been in? I've been in 9 weddings.
Okay.
9.
Mm-hmm.
And a bridesmaid, either a bridesmaid or a maid of honor.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much something, right? So if you look at going back to our title, groomed for marriage, whether I knew it or not, right? Because that's what I was accustomed to seeing. and I look at where I am currently and presently in my life at 52, one would assume and think that, yes, this is going to happen. It would have happened well before 52. You could not have told me that I would reach the young age of 52 and never been married or have children or have a family.
Right.
Never. So I thought when I went away to school that, hey, I'll find my husband in college. We'll graduate, maybe work a couple years, get married, have children, and live happily ever after. So pretty much whatever goal, and I'm a goal setter, right? So whatever goal I set for myself, you know, career-wise, education-wise, whatever it is, check, 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 done, right?
Check those boxes, right.
Check those boxes, check. Wanted to graduate, go to school, graduate in 4 years and not go to summer school. Check. Wanted to go get my MBA. Check. Right. You know, wanted to work in corporate America, kind of climb that corporate ladder. You know, check. Want to get married, have a family. Box still unchecked. Right.
Right.
So I would have thought, given what I was accustomed to and grew up in, the environment, that of course it would be easy for me to do.
Yeah. No. Okay. So what do you think, again, you don't necessarily have to go in great detail, but what do you think some of your dating challenges have been then and now? Are you dating now?
I'm open to dating. Okay. I'm not presently or currently dating anyone, but I'm open to dating.
Okay. So if we can go back to that question, what would you say some of the dating challenges have been? Because a lot of times when we date people, we get to see who we are in a dating relationship, because you date to kind of get a sense of who's the right fit for you. Courting, dating, be nice if people court it still. I think that's it would be nice if we did. It's because you're dating with a purpose. And so yes, what would you say some of the challenges have been?
So I'll speak current state, right? Okay. So I'll speak currently and then kind of go back. I think currently I'm dating with purpose. So dating with intentionality and purpose. And my purpose is to be married to my purpose partner, period. Mm-hmm. I'm not dating to be a girlfriend. I'm too old for a boyfriend. I'm a grown woman. Mm-hmm. I'm 52. Mm-hmm. I don't want a girlfriend title. The next title for me, fiance, wife.
Okay.
If that's God's will for me, let me say that, because that's really important. Okay. So some of the challenges is finding someone or meeting someone that have that mindset. Now, does that mean that you're going to, you know, meet someone and you just blast that on the first date? But when, you know, as you're having conversations with said person that you're dating, that needs to be, you want to make sure that that's communicated early on so that I'm not wasting his time if that's not what his ultimate goal is. And then my time isn't wasting. The one thing that I really, really, truly value is time. My time is too valuable and precious to waste. So if I know this person, he doesn't want to get married, be married, he doesn't see marriage in his future, I'm fine with that. But I'm not going to date you because that goes against what my purpose and my desire is. Mm-hmm. So we can still be cool, but I just know that you're not my person. Mm-hmm.
So if you can just speak to, like I said, not going into great detail, what have been, if there was one thing that you could say that in your dating relationships that you weren't aligned with the other person, what would that one thing be that was not in alignment and you couldn't go the distance with that person?
Wow, that's a great question. I would say being truthful with yourself and what it is you desire and you want. Mm-hmm. So I think in my dating history, we look good on paper, right? So you can look good on paper, but when it's time to really put into action what your desires and goals are, I've been told, and this is not from one person, it's from many, mm-hmm. I can be intimidating.
Okay.
I don't know. And I say, that's interesting. What do you mean by intimidating? And what I've been told was a few things. I am very direct. I know what I want. I can be very, what's the word that I'm looking for? I don't want to say, I wouldn't say an alpha female. I hate these like terms, right? I wouldn't say an alpha female, but I know that I'm not a pushover.
Okay.
I stand up for myself. I call a thing, my tongue, if I'm being truthful and honest, has gotten me in trouble over a period of time. But I just know, so I've had to learn how to season my tongue, if that makes sense.
Okay. No, can you explain that a little more? I'm very curious about that. When you say you got to season your tongue, what does that mean?
I have to watch my words, how I say them, and then the tone in which I say them.
Okay.
So that I'm not coming across cutting. Cutting. And so I gotta say this. The word says a wise woman have the ability to build her home or tear her home down with her tongue. Mm-hmm. So I have been, and I can be honest and own this, my tongue, and you and I have talked about this, mm-hmm. can tear down.
Okay.
And it's not, I don't do it on purpose. I don't do it intentionally. It is, I just believe in, I don't believe in sugarcoating. I'm just direct. And there's a way to still be honest and direct and speak your truth, but there's a way to say it.
Yeah.
And there's a tone you should use when speaking to not just a man, your man, but anybody.
That's right.
Anybody. And I've had to learn that.
Okay. And that's good that a person that is self-aware, because it's through our interactions with each other that we come to learn things about ourselves. And so you can't really know that unless you interact with someone and someone says, hey, you need to watch your tongue, right? And the fact mm-hmm. that you're receptive, you know, a lot of people aren't receptive to correction and direction. And I can honestly say, I know firsthand from you, you are open to receiving. Now, you got to come to Rachel correct. You can't be talking crazy, but you are definitely the person who's open to feedback. So I mm-hmm. think that's really nice that you're aware of that, because you can't change what you don't acknowledge. So the fact that you acknowledge that, you know what, my tongue was a little sharp, and so I gotta change that. We can't keep operating in that way, because it's not going to get you where you want to be. So it's good that you recognize that. But when you think, appreciate that honesty. So when you think about the men you were dating, you kind of exposed yourself. Mm-hmm. What do you think some of the things that you saw in them, was some of the things kind of similar in nature in terms of what you saw in them that you decided, this is not the person for me? Is there one thing that was kind of parallel in some of the gentlemen that you dated?
I would say not. I'm not being equally yoked on the same level at the same time. I think everything happens in due season and in due time. So one, I'm not a complacent person. I'm a go-getter. I said earlier, I'm a goal setter. I set goals and I work to accomplish my goals. So I'm a driven person. And if somebody is not driven like me, not driven like me, not a goal setter, lackadaisical, kind of complacent, that doesn't align with me or who I am, right? So that's one thing. I think dating potential and not looking at the potential of a person, but not really accepting who they are current state and if that aligns with my desired outcome.
Okay. Okay. And that takes a great deal of maturity.
It does.
Yeah. And so when you think about just, and I think you're not alone and I'm sure there are a lot of men out there and women who are marriage material. It's just like, how do you meet those people? Like you said, you want to be married. You feel like, I know you have a lot to offer, you know, a husband. And so when you think about what you learned from your mom and your dad, they made it where I would think where you wanted to be married. Like, this is pretty cool, right? The fact that you want to be married, because some people can be in a two-parent household and the parents aren't getting along and you say, you know what, I don't want any parts of that. But your parents provided an environment where you felt like, I'm open to that. So that's good. So you do want to be married, correct?
I have a desire. I do. I have not given up hope on that.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Remember, I think me and you've talked about in the past, like, you know, back in the day, you know, we didn't have online dating. We didn't have social media. Mm-hmm. We didn't have all those things. But back in the day when our parents or even before them, you know, there was always those connections, you know, so-and-so knows this person, let's introduce them. You know, you have arranged marriages, you have all these ways for people to come together. And wouldn't it be nice if we had that today when people go on like a referral system? You know, I wish I had some single male friends, but we don't often try to bring people together. And I think me and you have talked about that quite a bit. Like, wouldn't it be nice if we lived in a society where people that wanted to be married and we would make those connections and referrals or however you, for lack of a better term, that would be wonderful. But people are so afraid to make those connections and make a mistake. And I think that's why some people are reluctant to do it. But wouldn't that be nice? I know me and you've talked about that quite a bit. You want to expound on that a little bit?
That would be awesome. I just think people get into, you know, they meet their person and, you know, life start happening, right? Life is always lifing. And they get caught up in their marriage. They start having kids. And sometimes I think in our friend circles, we're not intentional with saying, you know what? Well, I know this person. I know my person, my friend has a desire to be married. Let me see, you know, within, you know, who I may know, right? That's single, that's also looking for the same thing. Maybe I can connect them. And that's on both sides. That's men and women. You know, we have online dating, which you and I have talked about. I've tried. It's not for me. And you got to be honest about
You're right,
that.
Right. You're right.
I tried it twice. Each time for 90 days, it's not me. I don't want to do it. I don't have a desire to do it. I'm kind of old fashioned. Boy meet girl, girl meet boy, out somewhere. I don't know where that would be. The grocery store, the fruit department, the poultry department, at Home Depot or Lowe's, at a fundraiser. I just want to meet someone organically and not online. Online is not for me. There's too many people lying online. They're not being truthful. They're catfishing. They lying. You know,
say they lying online.
They lying online.
They lying online.
saying everybody, but it's a majority of them jokers, men and women. I'm not just going to put it all on the men. They lying. They got photos from 25 years ago. When I say single, when you put your profile online and, you know, you have to fill out everything. You have to, you know, they ask you questions, you know, what are you looking for? Age, you know, age range, you know, man, woman, you know, white, black, Chinese, whatever the case is. When you say, and you type your little bio, if you choose to do one, you know, single, sane, mentally stable, you know, available, fully available, which means you've been healed. You've healed from your past marriage, your trauma, your relationship. But I got to expand on single. That doesn't mean separated because you're not single. You still tied to someone because you're not divorced, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have a girlfriend, a living girlfriend, your child's mother that thinks she your girlfriend, because y'all having severed ties, really, right? But you are truly single, available, mentally available, your whole healed, and you're ready to meet, court, because courting and dating to me is two different things. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're ready to court, to date, to build a friendship that could lead into, you know, a monogamous relationship and that can go further. You're intentional, you're consistent in your actions, that's in the words coming out your mouth. Line up with your actions.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's not happening. Mm-hmm. That has not been my experience with online dating. Yeah. I at an age where it is not what you say. I'm not looking at your words. I'm looking at the actions. And if your actions are lining up with the words that are coming out of your mouth, that tells a story. Are you intentional? Are you being consistent? Consistency. Do you know how to communicate properly? Can you hold a conversation?
Yeah, that's so important. You know, like you said, the self-evaluation, because you shouldn't get into a relationship if you haven't resolved issues from a previous relationship, if you have not healed from a previous relationship. So there definitely needs to be, like you said, a sense of evaluating self first before you move into something. And a lot of people don't evaluate themselves. They just move into another relationship because they don't want to experience pain. They don't want to experience loneliness. Mm-hmm. And so you enter into a relationship and then you could potentially, man or woman, you could potentially end up hurting that person because you haven't resolved all the things that you need to resolve. And then, like you said, you got to establish what your needs are. A lot of people sometimes are reluctant to establish, like, this is what I need in a relationship. And when you don't do that, you allow for people to overstep boundaries, or you kind of sacrifice your boundaries. Because if you don't establish, you know what, this is what I need in a relationship. Granted that we're being realistic, but I think it's important to establish, this is what I need. Then that way, you know, again, not being rigid or anything, but you got to establish what your boundaries are. So I think that's so important as we position ourselves to be in a relationship, because if you do, anyone desires to be married, I think it's important to, you know, consider those things in addition to all the things that you said too. You want to come hold and you want to add to the relationship and not take away. And granted that there'll probably be some things that you have to work on together, but as long as people are open to let me work on, you know, because we're always a work in progress. I don't think I'll ever get to a point where I don't have to work on something. I've learned so much, you know, being married coming on 20 years in September, you know, I'm still learning things about myself. I'm still evolving. I'm still correcting things. And so if a person feels like, you know what, I'm going to get in this relationship and everything's going to be perfect. You're sadly mistaken, because you're always going to be, you know, tweaking different things here and there. And you got to be open to that. So
absolutely. Absolutely. I totally, yeah. totally agree with you. Wow. 20 years. What a blessing. 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we come to the home stretch, what advice, Rachel, would you give someone, you know, in your, you're in our age who needs hope, you know, how to move forward in your singleness, preparing yourself to be a wife? What would you say?
I think first, what's important is you need to make sure that you have healed, that you have done the work on you. I mean, heal from any type of past relationship, heal from any childhood trauma. A lot of people go from get out of one relationship, go into the next, get out of one relationship, go to the next. They don't even take time for themselves to kind of look at what was the demise of the relationship? Because it's never just always one party. There's responsibility that both parties bear. I don't believe that it's always one person. Mm-hmm. You know, accept responsibility and accountability for maybe the role that you may have played in the demise of the relationship or not seeing the flags. I think women sometimes, if I can just be transparent, especially in the day and age that we're living in, let's be honest, there are a lot more women than there are available men. So women are vying for men because they want a man, right? They want a man, they want to be married, and sometimes they accept less than, or they accept sharing somebody's man.
Yeah.
Right? So I think you got to be realistic and real with yourself first and heal from any type of past trauma. Know your worth. Know who you are. Know your worth. Know your standards. Have some standards. Set some boundaries. Be patient. Mm-hmm. Everything happens in due time and due season. I had to learn patience, Nika. I haven't always been a patient person. I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it.
Yeah, it's like so many of us.
Absolutely. If it was up to me, I would have been married 2 years outside of college.
Wow.
My kids would be grown, and me and my husband would be having our second honeymoon and enjoying life, right? But that wasn't my journey. That wasn't my plan for whatever reason, right? For whatever reason. You and I have talked about this. All of my girlfriends in my circle are married with children, all of them. I am the single one out of the girlfriend group. And that has its own challenges.
Yeah. If you can speak to that a little bit, I think we can extend it just a bit. But if you could speak to that, like you said, I know you do have some single friends, but like you said, some of your close friends, some of your other, your close friends are married. How do you cope with that?
Prayer. When I know that, and so let me say this, I'm extremely happy for all my girlfriends that are married with children. I'm very involved with you all, as you know. The kids are like my nieces and nephews. I love them all. And there are times where if I'm invited places, right, and I know it's going to be couples, I have to really ask myself, and not that any of my girlfriends make me feel a certain way. It is me. It's me feeling this way. Man, is this going to trigger me? Can I go be present, be my happy, joyful, fun-loving, humorous, you know, extroverted self in my close circle of friends, right? Mm-hmm. Be present and not feel pressured or feel like they're going to be looking or thinking, here come Rachel, no man, no date, no boyfriend, no man, no husband, right? And it's really all me. I think it's just in my head. I have to get out of my head. A lot of it is prayer. A lot of it is I journal a lot. I have pep talks with myself and say, okay, you doing this. Or sometimes I have, sometimes I may have to respectfully decline, not because I don't want to be around my friends and have a good time, because maybe Rachel is being triggered and she just can't handle it that day.
Yeah, right.
Because it is a desire. It is a desire to be in a committed, loving relationship with my husband.
Yeah.
Or my significant other, my partner, my fiance. So when you're always showing up to events, you know, by yourself, it can, if I'm being totally honest, you do feel a certain way. You do feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You do. I'm thankful that the girlfriends that I have, they don't pay that no mind, and they don't pay me y'all don't pay me no attention. And y'all know, quite honestly, when I'm going through that season, and y'all will be like, okay, yeah, I know that's how you feel, but if you don't bring your butt on over here or come on over here, we're going to come get you. So you guys have never made me feel less than because I don't have a spouse or a significant other. You guys have always been very welcoming, very loving, and also very cognizant of when I'm going through those seasons of feeling that, right?
Yeah.
You guys love on me that much more. And so I'm very appreciative of that. And your husbands, the husbands don't make me feel like I'm like their sister, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I call my girlfriends, husbands, my brothers in love, because they are, right?
Yeah.
So I'm very appreciative of that. But if I'm just being honest, yeah, I mean, and if any woman is being honest, when you're always the solo one in the group, that can weigh on you. You got to be aware of your triggers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very aware of my triggers, and I got to be true and authentic to myself. If it's something that I know is going to trigger me and I cannot handle it, I'm not going to put myself in a position to do that. I'm just not.
Yeah. But let me say this. No one is judging your singleness.
Yeah.
No one. I mean, I think what you bring, I mean, the energy that you bring to a room, Rachel, when I say when your husband does meet you, because you're such an amazing friend, daughter, sister, auntie, woman of God, when that man meets you, boy, is he in for a blessing, because what we get from you as a friend and you turn it around for a husband, wow, that's going to be a blessed man. And so he has to be. And I know, always in prayer for God to present your husband to you and remove any obstacles that may be in the way so that you can meet your husband. And for people who want to be married, because not everybody wants to be married. Some people are okay with being single, but I feel like if that's the desire of your heart, I pray that God grants you the desire of your heart. And as we close, I want to thank you so much. Is there any parting words? Is there anything you want to say before I make my announcements? Is there any parting words you want to say before we part?
I want to just encourage not only women, but men too, but I'm going to speak men too, because it's not just women. I'm sure there's some men out there that want to be married to and haven't found their, you know, their person, you know, their wife yet. But I want to speak to my sisters, especially the sisters that are, you know, older, maybe, you know, 40 and up, that haven't been married, don't have any children, to just still remain hopeful, to keep hope alive. That's really all we have, right? Mm-hmm. To be intentional, to enjoy your singleness, enjoy your singlehood, but also prepare for what it is that you want and that you desire. I take myself out on dates, dinner dates. I take myself to the movies. I've taken myself to concerts. Last year was the first time, and you know this, Nika, I went on my first solo vacation.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
It was really big. If you know me, and you know me, Nika, that was huge for me. that was huge for me. I went on a cruise. I was gone for a week. And was I nervous? Yes, I was nervous. I asked myself, am I going to be triggered if I see these couples, these married couples, these, you know, couples together having dinner and kind of, you know, doting on each other? Would I be triggered? I asked myself those things. Let me tell you something. Those people on that cruise, they were amazed that I was traveling alone. And I never had dinner alone. They invited me to have dinner. I met so many nice people, and it was one of the best trips that I ever had. And as a matter of fact, I'm planning another solo vacation this year. So I just want to say to my single sisters, enjoy your singleness. Enjoy yourself. Take yourself on a date. Yes, you can sit at the table, but my girlfriends have talked me now into sitting at the bar.
Yes, that opens you up. It opens. You're open.
Going with that intention, right? I don't go there with the intention, oh, I'm going to meet somebody. But we're meant to commune and connect, right, and talk, right? And I have some of the best conversations when I take myself out to dinner and maybe sit at the bar, go someplace different, right? I have some of the best conversations. I mean, a good meal, a good glass of wine, and some great conversation. I enjoy going to concerts. I love music. I love to dance. I went to a couple concerts by myself. You don't always have to be or have someone with you, right? Yeah. But do you enjoy yourself, enjoy your singleness. And when you least expect it, as I've been told, right, several times, it will happen. I understand that everything happens in due time, in due season. And when you're ready, are those things that you're asking for, are you currently doing those things, right?
Right.
So if your desire is I'm just throwing this out here for argument's sake. This is not me, but you want a man with six figures. Are you making six figures? Are you asking for something that you're not doing yourself?
Right.
Right. So you got to be careful. You got to understand what it is that you want and desire, but you become those things too. You become those things so you can attract and align what it is that you desire as well.
That's
true. Those are my words. So I'm still at 52. I'm still hopeful. I haven't given up hope. It's still very much a desire. Is it something on top of mind every day? It is not, because I'm too busy living my life. Yeah. I'm booked and busy.
But you are. And like I said, I'm so proud of you for, like you said, dating Rachel and not sitting back just waiting, because so often that's what we do. I know when you purchased your own home, I was so proud of you. And you've just been doing a lot of things. And I know you want to do things with a mate, but I'm so happy to see that you're not waiting on that. You're still living your life. So that really makes me happy. That puts a smile on my face and in my heart. But,
and that was big for me. You know, that was never my desire, Nika, to be honest with you, to purchase my home without my husband. Never.
I know.
But I was, you know, God led me to do it. He told me to do it, and I was obedient. And so I'm forever thankful and grateful that I did.
Purchased a beautiful home. And so that ends our talk for today, this evening, I should say. But I want to let all our listeners know that Rachel, one of my best friends, she will be hosting the podcast with me once a month. She will be my co-host, and I am so excited to have her join me, because I've always told Rachel, you have the gift of really conversing and making things very clear. I've seen so much in Rachel. I wish she could, I know she sees what I see in her, but in terms of her just being able to influence and inspire women, I really believe that that's her ministry. So I really believe that it's a great idea to have her co-host with me on a monthly basis. So I'm so happy and honored that she accepted the offer to do that with me.
Yay.
So we're still on, right, Ray?
We are. I'm excited. Nika has been, you know, for the last 25 plus years telling me this was my ministry. So I graciously accept it.
Yes. So I was very, very happy. So thanks again, Rachel, for joining me. But the next time you join, you will be joining me as my co-host. So I'm so excited about that. Thanks for joining today's episode. If you enjoyed the story time, don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Leave us a review and share with your friends to help us reach more listeners. Stay tuned for more insightful stories. Until next time, take care and keep exploring new connections with us. Bye for now.